Whoa. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got first thing I want to say, he is risen.
Amen.
Already, he is risen. We got glad you're all here this morning, and got a few announcements to go through here, and we got a full schedule here this morning. We got a lot going on, so let's get started here. Annie Armstrong Easter offering, we're taking that up through today. And so if you haven't already given, you can, and also remember that in your prayers. Ladies' Luncheon Thursday the 24th at Hewlett's Tavern in Heathville, and arrive by 11:30. The sign-up sheet is in the fellowship hall. See Bootsy Burgess with any questions. Dinner and a movie night this next Saturday, the 26th at 5 p.m., and I won't read all of that, but anyway, we're going to have a movie and a dinner. All are invited.
And, Pastor, I finally put the sign-up sheet in place.
Okay.
It took me long enough. A lot's been on my plate. I apologize. But I hope everybody can make it out Saturday night. Mary Arrington is going to make her famous homemade marinara sauce.
We got spaghetti.
So come on and enjoy.
Yeah, it was spaghetti, right?
That's right.
Right,
that's
okay. Right. Vacation Bible School t-shirt orders. If you haven't already, you're going to work with Vacation Bible School. You can get your order in for that. Senior Saints Ministry Meeting, April the 28th at 7 p.m. Friends and Family Day, that's Sunday the 4th. That's Sunday after next. Invite all your friends. We're going to eat again. We'll learn how to do that well here, aren't we? And deacons and WMA meetings Tuesday the 6th at 7 p.m. Church business meeting May 7th at 7 p.m. And then on a Wednesday night Bible study, we're going to have a special presentation. Eddie Heath and some from the Mid-Tidewater Association are going to come speak to us. Some of you don't already know that or have realized over the years, the Rappahannock Association, which this church is part of, has defunct, dead, whatever you want to call it, is not doing anything. And five churches in this association have already united with the Mid-Tidewater Association. They're very active in doing a lot of things. So I've talked to the deacons, and we've decided to let Eddie come and talk to y'all that Wednesday night and see how you feel, if you'd like to join with the Mid-Tidewater Association, get active in some more missions work. And that's all the announcements I have. Anything else? Did I leave anything out?
Good
breakfast this morning. Good sunrise service. had to get up a little earlier, but we had a good. All right, now, I'm going to take this bell here. I'm going to hold away from the mic because it's loud. I'm going to ring it and give you a few minutes to get up and fellowship with your neighbors, and then I'll ring it again, and you'll have to sit back down. All right, so welcome your neighbors this morning. Okay. You may be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious and beautiful day. We thank you that we celebrate this a special day, a day we've set aside to call the Resurrection Day. We call it Easter. But to us, each and every day is a Resurrection Day, and we celebrate it each and every Sunday. But today it is special in our hearts. And we thank you so much for the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died for us, that he forgave us, and that we can go on, and that of all the great things that have happened, the grave didn't hold him, and it won't hold us. And we come today to glorify the name of Jesus Christ and thank you for all that you do, for we come in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Sing the mighty sound.
Emmanuel, light of the world, King of kings and risen Lord. This is the story of Easter.
To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the King, eternal, to the only wise God, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the King, eternal, to the only wise God.
That's the reason we come once again, like each Easter before, and rehearse the story of the cross. Once again, we follow the scripture as it takes us from the upper room where Jesus met with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, to Pilate's hall, down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to the foot of Golgotha. And why do we choose to relive such pain and agony? Because in his suffering, we are reminded again of his sacrifice. In his death, we are given life. And only by the shedding of his blood can our sins be forgiven.
It's not cathedrals, it's not steeples, it's not crosses made of gold. It's not just sentimental stories that have been passed down from old. It's not religion or tradition that can save the souls of men. It took the sinner's blood of one holy lamb. It's all about the blood.
That you stood in our place, that you let your heart and your body be broken for us, that your blood spilled on our behalf. Our hearts cry out with thankfulness, and we raise our voices in a grateful hallelujah. Oh, what compassion you showed. Oh, what love you displayed. Oh, what a savior you are.
Thank you.
came as a baby, lived a sinless life, and died on a cross between two thieves. If that had been the end of the story, our hope would have been forever buried in the tomb where they laid his body. But early in the morning on the third day, a song of praise echoed from the barren walls of an empty tomb. He is risen! He is risen indeed!
How can it be the one who died has borne our sin through sacrifice to conquer every sting of death? Sing, sing hallelujah. For joy awakes as dawning light when Christ's disciples lift their eyes. Alive he stands, their friend.
I've listened every week. I come to choir practice and listen to them, and it was good then. But it was wonderful this morning. I don't know what it is. Something turned them on.
Thank you.
I like that. We have a fan in the house. I love it. What a special day. He is risen. He has risen indeed. Let the children come, and I can see they're already running forward. Let the children come. So great to see so many young kids in the house. And I see an older kid in the house this morning, too. And it's so good to have Willard. Willard, it's so good to have you in the house this morning, sir. His hearing's not the best, but I'm sure he understands. Hi, how are you? Guys, it's a beautiful morning, isn't it? What do you have? Rainbow scratchbooks. That is really cool. Easter Bunny? Aren't you special? That's wonderful. Hey, do you guys know what this is?
It's a plant.
It is a plant, and it is part of it is a flower. It's from a dogwood tree. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the legend of the dogwood tree. So this is for the little kids, and this is for the kids at heart. Back in the day, the story has it, that this little tree used to grow really tall and straight like a pine tree, and it used to be as big as around as an oak tree. And then one day they cut the tree down to make the cross for Jesus, and it made the tree so sad. And Jesus knew that, so Jesus said, from now on, I will make the tree smaller, and I will make it crooked, so that you'll never be cut down and used for a cross again. Now, that's just the story. But Jesus also did some other things to the tree. He made these pretty white, well, they look like flowers, but technically they're not. I'll tell you again in a minute. They're snowdrops? They do look like that, don't they? But if you look, they form a little cross. There are four of these little petal-like things that form a cross. Yeah?
And the dogwoods grow in a different season than snowdrops only grow in the winter, and those ones only grow in the fall.
The spring. Right, they do. Snowdrops bloom in the late spring, and so do dogwoods. Well, they also make these pretty flowers around Easter time. And so Jesus made the four little, they're actually called bracts. They're not petals, but they look like it, and they form a cross. So we would remember him. And if you look closely at each of these, they have what looks like a little nail hole in each of the petals. Bracts is what they're called. And if you look really closely, what color do you see there, Taylor?
White.
Yeah, but if you look real closely, like right here.
It's like
a reddish, pinkish, brownish color, isn't it? And supposedly those little holes are to represent the nail holes from when Jesus put on the cross.
There's also another color.
Yeah, what color do you see?
Yeah,
little oranges, browns. Yeah, Taylor.
We watched a movie about me and Collins went to Memphis and watched a movie about Jesus crying.
Oh, good. I can't wait to see it. So don't spoil the ending for me, okay? So this is really cool. So it's got these little holes on the leaf so you can think about the cross. And in the middle, this little yellow part is actually the flower. And it looks like a crown, like Jesus had on his head. So Jesus made the dogwood plant special so it would bloom every Easter, and that we would remember him when we see this. So on this special day, which is all about us and Christ together, it's the reason we're here in this church. I want you guys from now on, when you see the dogwood, remember this special day and remember Jesus, okay? Let's say a little prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special day. He has risen. He has risen indeed. And you've given us the dogwood tree. And we give thanks. It's a special symbol that every time we see us, we'll remember that you died for our sins. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, head on back with Michelle. And I'll tell you how confusing it is. This is actually the state tree of Virginia. But North Carolina is so confused that it's the state flower of North Carolina. Well, it's a good thing this one broke on its own. Wink, wink.
In here, I don't know if we can keep it.
Well, I definitely don't. I definitely don't want to make Robbie upset. I will tell you that much. Hey, real quickly, so good to see everybody in the house and all the young faces and the older faces too. It's such a blessing on this special day. Life is a miracle. We're here. God's given us this beautiful world, and we're meant to share it and protect each other and to reach out to each other. Things aren't so good for many people. Kathy, it's so good to see you here today, and I'm glad your leg is healing. It's nice to have you in the house. Drew, so wonderful to see you with family. It's such a blessing. There are some people not doing so well. I'm going to share with you that Doug Walker has some lung problems, and he has been advised to stay home at least for a while. He's on oxygen. He's doing okay. That's just the best way to describe it. He is 88, and he's hanging in there with a smile on his face, but he sends his love to everybody, and he welcomes phone calls, and he does welcome visitors if you're healthy. I know that Jody Bowles is not doing well. She's at, is it Hanover? Yep. Up in Mechanicsville. She's in the ICU and not doing well, so we're going to lift her up. Priscilla is doing much better. She's not with us this morning, but she was here Wednesday night for Bible study, so that's a blessing. She's doing much better, and I know I am leaving some people out. I spoke with Gloria yesterday. They're doing okay. Not the best in the world, but they're doing okay. I had a nice lengthy discussion with Ann yesterday, and she said she and Joe aren't doing the best these days, but they remember us and think about us all the time. And I shared with her that we think about them and we're here for them, and reminded her that we are a big family in Christ and we're here to support each other. Is there anybody else, Kathy? I forgot about that. Yes. Yes. Well, that's nice. Miss Shirley's not doing well, and she is on hospice, so keep that in mind. Warren?
Was at Sunrise Service.
May?
Mate.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Wanda? She did text me that information. Such a blessing. So May Schools is going through a tough time. She has cancer in several of the vertebrae in the upper back, causing her lots of pain, and they're not going to be able to operate. So please keep her in mind. Yes, Drew. Okay, we will keep the family in mind. Thank you for sharing. I know it's been a tough time lately for you, but you guys are definitely in our thoughts and prayers. Anybody else this morning before the pastor goes to prayer? Thank you guys for sharing. Remember, please check in on those that are less fortunate than us and those that are hurting and suffering. But it's so good to see your smiling faces in the house this morning.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, what can we say but with great love to say thank you? And there are days that we go that we don't think about saying thank you to you, but to realize you do so many great things for us. You give us blessings every day, but the greatest blessing of all, and we celebrate today, is the resurrection of your Son from the grave. And to thank you for that gift of eternal life. And to not only to thank you for that, but to thank you for what it means to us someday, those loved ones that have gone before us, that are with you now, that we someday can be reunited with them. will be a glorious great reunion in your eternal kingdom. And we look for that. Though sometimes it is sad in our hearts that when we say goodbye to a loved one, and we know that those that are alive now that have lost loved ones recently, there's broken places in their heart. They need your love and for you to fill their hearts. And we pray, and as we've mentioned here, there are many that are ill, sick, recovering from some disability or injury, whatever it may be, that your healing hand needs to be upon them and to bring them safely back to us someday. But as we go through this service now, to be reminded of the great resurrection, to be reminded that he lives, he's sitting at your right hand right now, he's our intercessor, and he's the one in whose name we pray. In Jesus' name I come. Amen.
Okay, our offertory hymn this morning is 357, Christ the Rose. 357, stand as we sing. We sing the first and last verses.
Last Easter, I preached in an ex-United Methodist church, one of those churches that pulled out. And I told myself, this is the first time I've ever preached in a church that wasn't a Southern Baptist church for Easter. I said, but I'll tell you this, the message is still the same. A man was driving blissfully along the highway when he saw the Easter bunny hopping across the middle of the road. He swerved to avoid hitting the bunny, but unfortunately the rabbit jumped in front of his car and was hit. The basket of eggs went flying all over the place, candy too. The driver, being a sensitive man as well as an animal lover, pulled over to the side of the road and got out to see what had become of the bunny carrying the basket. Much to his dismay, the colorful bunny was dead. The driver felt guilty and began to cry. A woman driving down the same highway saw the man crying on the side of the road and pulled over. She stepped out of her car and asked the man what was wrong. He said, "I feel terrible. I've accidentally hit the Easter bunny and killed it. There may not be an Easter because of me. What should I do?" The woman told the man not to worry. She knew exactly what to do. She went to her trunk, pulled out a spray can. She walked over to the limp, dead bunny, sprayed the entire contents of the can onto the little furry animal. Miraculously, the Easter bunny come back to life, jumped up, picked up the spilled eggs and candy, waved its paw at the two humans, and hopped on down the road. 50 yards away, the Easter bunny stopped, turned around, waved, and hopped on down the road another 50 yards, turned, waved, and hopped another 50 yards, and waved again. This kept up until the bunny was out of sight. The man was astonished. He couldn't figure out what could possibly be in that woman's spray can. He said to the woman, "What in heaven's name is in that can?" The woman turned the can around so that the man could read the label on it. It said, "Hairspray restores life to dead hair and adds permanent wave." Now, our culture, unfortunately, is filled with a lot of misconceptions. Many see Santa Claus as Christmas rather than the birth of Christ. And they see the Easter bunny and the eggs and candy instead of the resurrection. Easter. We're celebrating the resurrection. It is the basis of our faith. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain." If it hadn't been for the resurrection, I've been wasting some over 40 years of my life standing here preaching to you. Churches are full today, all around the world. But to many, this is the only time they will attend a church for a full year. In fact, I've told this story to some of you before, and I think I shared it with Robbie this morning. I don't know, some of you older folks like me remember Jerry Clower, the comedian. He was a Southern Baptist. He did a lot of work with the Royal Ambassadors years ago. I read he said that on any given Sunday in his church, he'd gladly give his pew up to a visitor. But he said on Christmas and Easter, he wasn't giving his seat up to nobody. The church exists today because of the resurrection. We're a witness to the resurrection. And tell you this, no one has yet found his remains. They're not going to find them. Is there any doubt this morning? There was one named, and we called him Doubting Thomas. So we're going to look at Doubting Thomas this morning. And that's in John 20, verses 24 through 31. I'm going to read that. "But Thomas, as one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and he said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There's an empty tomb. We talked about that this morning at sunrise service. Mary discovers the tomb is unsealed. She had visited it while it was still dark and found the stone had been rolled away. And she ran to tell Peter, and she revealed an unquestioning love. She said, They've taken my Lord away. Peter and John, they went to investigate. And John's discovery was the undisturbed clothes. The head wrapping laid off to the side. It was folded up neatly and laid there. And so immediate belief, they began to understand the scriptures about the resurrection. Jesus had told them over the 3 years of his ministry with them, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to pick it up again. But somehow they didn't understand that. And then when he was crucified and buried, everybody scattered. Everybody was depressed. Everybody was discouraged. But now they find the tomb is empty. And now he appears to Mary, because Mary had returned to the tomb. There was angels there at the tomb. And they asked her, Why are you sad? Why do you weep? She said, They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where he is laid. But she's given a commission by Jesus, because she met him. She at first mistook him for the gardener. You see, Jesus was a little bit different when he came back from the grave. He had that new glorified body. That's the body that we will someday have. Those that have gone on before us are in heaven now have a temporary body. But when Jesus returns and comes, they're going to have that glorified body. And those of us, if we remain here when he comes back, we're going to be transformed. We're going to have that new glorified body. Because you'll notice something with that new glorified body. He appeared in a room with a door closed. He came and went because of that new body that he had. And so she recognizes him and calls him Master. And he told us that, quit clinging to me. Go tell others that I have arisen. Go tell them. So then Jesus appears to the disciples. They had been hiding in fear. When he was arrested that night in the garden, they disappeared. Peter hung along enough to see some of the trial, denied him 3 times, and then he disappeared. But now Jesus appears suddenly. And his presence is real. He showed his nail-pierced hands. He showed his pierced side. And he gave them a commission. He said, So send I you. And he promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came one day and is upon all believers. And he gave them the authority to witness. But now there's Thomas. He hadn't been around. He doubted the resurrection. He was one of the 12. He was a courageous and a loyal disciple. When Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem in John 11:16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Because they knew Jesus was going to be arrested and they were going to try to kill him. But he was also inquisitive and doubtful. And John 14:5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This is when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I'm come again, where I'll be, you shall be also. And Thomas said, but we don't know. And Jesus told him, he said, you do know. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, you do know, Thomas, because you know me, you know the way. He forsook and withdrew himself from the group. He was not there when the Lord first appeared. And he argued with them about the resurrection when they told him about it. He did not believe. He questioned it. And he said in John 14:6-7, Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But if you've known me, you should have known my Father also, and henceforth you know him and have seen him. Thomas, like a lot of them at that time, had an earthly concept of Jesus. That was Judas's problem. He had an earthly concept of Jesus. He thought Jesus was going to be a political takeover. And, of course, Judas was the treasurer, and he thought that Jesus takes over, he's going to be in charge of a lot. But as it turned out, he was wrong. Thomas needs some proof of the resurrection. He says, I got to see it to believe it. And his doubt persisted for about 8 days. But then Jesus puts those doubts to rest. Thomas met with the group. Jesus appears right in the middle of the room with a locked door. He gives Thomas the proofs that he needs. He said, here's the nail-scarred hand. Here's the pierced side. He gives him what he needs. Then he said, my Lord and my God. He became a believer. He didn't have to see anything else. And Jesus calls for faith. And he said how good Thomas's faith was now, because he's seen and believed. He said, but how much better is the faith of those that have not seen and believed? That is what it says to us today. We've not seen him, but we have, by faith, have to believe that he arose from the grave. He is the eternal Son of God. He's our Lord and our Savior. And that is the faith that he talks about. Thomas's lesson is for all of us. Blessed in believing without having seen the proof. Faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Belief in the resurrection shows strength of character. It's a sensitivity to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. The Holy Spirit is the one that leads us to make that change, to accept Jesus Christ. It's an awareness of God. When I was in the seminary some years ago, one of my classmates told this story. He had been a declared atheist. And he worked in a grocery store, in a big grocery store, and he was responsible for stocking some shelves. and putting cans in. And he said there was this fella over in the produce part, over there with the vegetables and fruits and all. Said he would come over and he would be down there putting cans in the shelves. And he said the fellow would come over and say to him, says, "Jesus loves you," and then he'd walk away. And he said this went on for a while. Every day he'd come over there, "Jesus loves you," and walk away. He said finally one day he got up and followed him and says, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Jesus loves you." And he says, "I know you don't believe in him. But," he says, "you're a smart person." He said, I challenge you to study and see what you find out." And he said, through study and the scriptures and so forth, he found Jesus Christ. You know what he was going to do when he left seminary? He was going to Utah to witness to the Mormons. Now that's a challenge. We meet here today and every Sunday because his grave is empty, because he died on a cross, and because he has forgiven us. Is there any doubt in your mind today? I hope there's not. If you haven't given your life to him and been baptized, maybe it's time you think about that. Put the doubts away. He is the eternal Son of God. He died to forgive us of our sins. He took our punishment. And he arose from the grave to give us eternal life. We have to, by faith, believe in what he did for us. The story. I'm going to tell you a story here in closing. His name was General Lew Wallace. He was on a train going out west, and one of the passengers with him was Colonel Ingersoll. Colonel Ingersoll was a known atheist. And they got into a discussion and into religion somehow, and then they got on, and Ingersoll talked about this Jesus. He said, "What a fraud. What a fraud. And all these people that believe in it." He said, "What a fraud." And he challenged General Lew Wallace. He said, "I challenge you, check it out, search it out, and expose him for what a fraud he is." General Lew Wallace checked it out. He did his research. And he wrote a novel, Ben-Hur. He found Jesus. He found the real Jesus. And, of course, the story of Ben-Hur is a novel, but it coincides and kind of goes across with Jesus. Let us settle any doubts that you might have here, right here today. Settle it once and for all if you have any doubt at all about your salvation or if you've got it or not. Don't let another Easter go by that he's not your Lord and Savior. I found him. Well, I've always known of him. I started, give you a little short thing. I started at 2 weeks old on a cradle roll in a Baptist church. My mother took me to church at 2 weeks old. My father was in the Navy. This was back at the end of the war. He was at sea. But my mother met my dad in that very same church. That's where she met him. And she set her cap for him and she got him. When he walked in that sailor suit on, she said that was the prettiest man she ever saw, and she set her cap for him. That church was pastored by my dad's oldest brother. So my whole life and beginning started in church. And so I was raised in it. I was always aware of Jesus and of God and having being exposed to it all the time and growing in the church. And even at a very young age, I felt that God had something for me to do. And at 12 years old, I got out of that pew. I had the minister used to have a habit sometimes, the invitation. He would stop and extend the invitation and say, we're going to send one more stanza. And I had prayed. I said, Lord, if he extends the invitation today, I'll go forward. Guess what? He extended the invitation. When they started to sing again, the next thing I knew, I'm standing there giving my life to Christ with the pastor. My mom wasn't there that Sunday. She was homesick. But I was there with my dad and my younger brother. My dad looked down and he saw, and I wasn't there, and I was there. And I don't remember the footsteps from there to there. But I'm going to tell you, that pew and that Baptist church in Norfolk has my nail prints in it for the times that I hung on to it. But, and there was times I got away from it, but he finally got a hold of me. And I can't never look back and ever, and I've, what I miss is the years between my accepting him and the years that I didn't do anything for him. But do you know him today? Do you know that you're going to go to heaven? Without a doubt. And that someday, if you've got loved ones that are up there, you'll be back with them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we thank you for Thomas, because he had those doubts and he expressed them. And Jesus put those doubts to rest. We pray that as anyone here today has any doubt about the resurrection, any doubt about their salvation, that it be settled right here today, that they would receive him as their Lord and Savior and have a blessed life until the time that they go home to be with him. And we thank you for each and every one that is here. And we pray that as we go out into the world, we go as witnesses for you, sharing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. 305.